puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Many moons ago. Let's go exploring abandoned Manitoba again with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Gordon, welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
I'm usually able to decipher what your clue is, but this time you told me last week where the lions lived. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I was literally correct that this is where the lions lived. What I meant was it was the home of Robert F. Lyons.
Okay. I was seeing L-I-O-N-S. Okay.
Yes. Well, right. I didn't clarify, of course.
So Robert Lyons, and Robert Lyons was whom?
Well, Robert Lyons was one of the early pioneers of Manitoba. He came to Manitoba in 1879, and he took up farming in the vicinity of the area we call Carberry today, sort of western Manitoba. Mm-hmm. He established a general store. He became a fairly prosperous farmer by all accounts. In fact, people will sometimes think of, when you think of farming, blocks of 160 acres being sort of the norm for many of those early pioneers. Well, he had 2,700 acres, a vast farm. You know, even by today's standards, that's a pretty big farm. So he was obviously a very successful farmer, but he was also a businessman. He established a general store initially at his farm, and later when the town of Carberry was established, he came before there was even a Carberry. He then moved into Carberry, bought the first two lots along Main Street, established a general department store, and he had a grain elevator in Carberry. So he was very, very prosperous in the Carberry area.
And so on the abandoned side of things, what are we talking about?
Okay, well, in 1896, he decided, I guess because he was fairly well off, to have a home built on his farmstead. So he had a two-story red brick home built on his farm just south of the present-day Carberry.
I'm looking at the photos from your Manitoba Historical Society site. That is a spectacular building.
Indeed. Well, it's been variously called a mansion, a castle. I think a castle because there's sort of a prominent turret on the south side that kind of looks like a sort of a castle's a turret. It was a large building. Say, by present standards even, it was quite a big, impressive-looking building. And because it's stone, well, actually, it's kind of deceiving. It looks sort of like stone, but actually a lot of it is brick that's been painted to look like that, or it has colored bricks that make it look like that.
And looking at your photos, there's a great deal of it that remains.
Well, yes, that's true. Unfortunately, it's not in great condition. If you look more closely, if you look inside,
the interior photos, it's quite decayed.
It's been trashed. I think probably what's happened is people have gone in there and just, you know, thrown things about there. It uses what they call lath and plaster to do the interiors, wooden slats that run horizontally, and then mm-hmm. they would slather on the wet plaster until it's set. That's been thoroughly trashed, so there's little bits of plaster laying everywhere. The lath are all broken, so the interior not so good. The floor is deteriorating. Even some of the exterior walls, it's brick veneer, meaning it's got wood then with a layer of bricks on the outside. The bricks are falling away in numerous places. It's really not in good condition. I know people sometimes drive by it because it is visible from the highway, Highway 5, and people often drive by and admire it, thinking, well, why is an impressive-looking building like that still sitting empty? Well, it would be a major undertaking, I think, to fix it up.
Why did Lyons House come to be abandoned?
Well, I think it was just simply because over the years it had it suffered from a variety of things, but most notably, I think, was the lack of insulation. Buildings of that age were just not insulated. And so because it was a large building, it would have been notoriously difficult to keep heated. Lyons himself moved out of the building. He actually, say, he had built in 1896. He moved out in 1919 when he retired to Carberry. He was then sold to a succession of owners. Was owned by a fellow named Thomas Switzer, then by his son Willard Switzer, then later by the family, the Palak family. From what I can tell, they moved out in 1964, and they were the last residents. So it's been vacant, therefore, for over 50 years. And the reason why it's been remained vacant, I think, is that the last owner was non-resident. They came from actually quite a long ways away, actually not far from Winnipeg here. And so because they were non-resident, there was no need to use the house, and therefore it just sat empty and deteriorated.
Are there any markers at the mansion to indicate its historical value?
No. In fact, you wouldn't know that it was owned by Lyons until you did a little research to find that out.
Now, this is Lyons with an S, not to be confused with Sterling Lyon, the former premier.
That's
no
right.
S, right.
Yeah, but there is a connection, though, because Mr. Lyons, Robert F. Lyons, did serve in the provincial legislature just as Sterling Lyon did. He was elected to a seat for the Carberry area in 1892, and he served off and on. He was voted out of office in 1899. But during the early part of the 20th century, in the government of Rodmond Roblin, the yes. grandfather to Duff Roblin, he served pretty much continuously, but always as a backbencher. He never seemed to have held a ministerial portfolio. So he was prominent in politics as well. So when he died in 1926, he was widely regarded as one of the real founders of the Carberry area and a very influential voice in the early 20th century.
Was he a potato farmer in the Carberry area?
Well, I don't think they were doing a lot of potato farming at that time. It would have been more likely grain farming then. It's only in the last few years that we've really got into potato farming in a big way.
And so what was your discovery of this? Were you just driving down the highway and looked at it and said, what's this?
Literally. I mean, it's
classic
it's,
Gordon Goldsberg style.
It's conspicuous, eh? You drive down Highway 5 and you can't help but see it. Now, in the summertime, it is a little harder to see because it's so closely encroached by vegetation. It's sometimes harder to see. But, you know, it's got these three impressive windows on that turret I think that turret is part of the stairwell up to the second floor, and it's just an impressive architectural building. And you know, you can't help but wonder about it. Why is this mansion just sitting empty like it is?
Gordon, I'm watching a video as we talk with the interior. A look at the kind of, you can see the wonder and the beauty that this building once held.
Indeed, it was a beautiful building in its time. It's a real shame to see it just as derelict as it is, but it is pretty shaky. I would advise anyone that goes by it to admire it that it's not something you want to go inside. I think it would be very dangerous, in fact, because the floors are weak. I wouldn't be surprised that building may come down in the not too distant future, just because it is so shaky.
And that video was prepared by the late Reed Dickey, right?
Yes, who recently passed away. A real loss, because he, like me, was keen on finding these abandoned sites all over rural Manitoba. And Reed was a good guy at taking videos, and he say he's posted a number of them on his website.
What are you thinking about for next week?
Well, next week, I think we're going to engage in a little navel gazing.
N-A-V-A-L?
We'll see.
All right. Gordon, thanks a lot.
You're welcome,
Always
Terry.
Great to see you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.